Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
Thank you for listening again today. I do hope this broadcast is a blessing to you. I want to remind you that my aim in this broadcast is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery of your salvation. The gospel of Christ is that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and raised again the third day. Your sins are paid for. Anybody can be saved today by simply believing and trusting that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Why not trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and put to rest your eternity, placing it in the hands of the Lord? You can do that right now by simply believing. And the moment you believe, you are placed into the body of Christ by something called baptism. I want to talk to you about baptism today. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes these words in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Well, there is certainly agreement today in the so-called Christian world that there's one Lord, one God and Father of all, one Spirit. But notice that phrase, one baptism. The unity of the Spirit that we are to endeavor to keep is to recognize the truth of these doctrinal statements, the oneness of each of these points, one body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling, and one baptism. Well, there are several baptisms mentioned in the Bible. So, which one is it? Notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1 says, Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Paul refers to the children of Israel, the fathers, that were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Well, there's one baptism, but that doesn't apply to you. In Matthew chapter 3, we read these words. Verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come down to verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. John states in verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water, unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We see three baptisms in that passage. John baptizing with water, Jesus Christ baptizing with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So that's four baptisms so far that we can recognize in the scripture. First, we read in Acts chapter 1 where Jesus Christ said in verse 5, For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And in Acts 2, verse 1, we read, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they would be the 12 disciples. Verse 3, And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this was the baptizing by Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost for the disciples, as he promised would come. There is a baptism of fire that will come in the future. So the question is, which one of these baptisms is the one baptism that Paul referred to in Ephesians chapter 4? Well, in order to find the answer to that, we are going to have to rightly divide the word of truth. First of all, we have to understand something, that Jesus Christ told the 12 in Matthew chapter 10, "Go not unto the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So I know that their ministry did not include the likes of you and I today. Gentiles in the world today were, according to Paul, in time past, without hope and without God in the world. So the baptism that was given to the 12 to carry out, the baptizing that they did with water, and the baptism they received by Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost, it is unlikely those would pertain to us. The church, the body of Christ, received a different baptism. Notice in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." In this case, it's the Spirit doing the baptizing into Christ. In Acts chapter 2, it was Christ doing the baptizing with the Holy Ghost. And it mattered whether you were Jew or Gentile. They were Jews involved in Acts chapter 2. Read it and see. The whole chapter concerns Israelites. But Paul said that we are all baptized into one body. And since there's one body in Ephesians chapter 4, then the one baptism he must be referring to in Ephesians 4 is this Spirit baptism in 1 Corinthians 12. By one Spirit, the Spirit doing the baptizing and placing the believer into Jesus Christ, then it is a spiritual baptism, not a physical baptism. You know, it's interesting. The word baptism in Greek is pretty much the same word as it is in English. It may be pronounced something like baptismos, but the spelling is very similar. What the translators did was they left the word alone and gave it an English spelling. In other words, they didn't translate the word, they transliterated it. That is because the translation of the word baptism was not sufficient to carry out the meaning that is intended by the word. You could have said washing, bathing, immersion, dunking, whatever, but it had to do with being identified into something, and the medium could be different. Because as we saw, in one case, the medium was the cloud in the Red Sea. In another case, the medium was the Jordan River with John's baptism. In another case, the medium was the Holy Ghost. In another case, it will be with fire. And in your case, it is by one Spirit into the body of Christ, and we were made to drink into the Spirit. So we don't see one baptism in Scripture. We see several. But Paul says there's only one baptism, so it must mean that there is only one baptism that applies to you, and it must be the one baptism that places you into the one body, and as we read, it is by one Spirit. It cannot be water, for Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Christ sent me not to baptize. Well, Paul couldn't baptize by one Spirit into Christ. if the Spirit's doing the baptizing, he doesn't mean Christ sent him not to spiritually baptize. The only baptism a man could do would have to be physical. That would be water. Well, Paul makes it clear he was not sent to baptize. In fact, he says in verse 14, I thank God that I baptize none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize. Paul names the few people that he knew that he baptized, and he didn't know that he baptized anyone else. He was sent not to baptize, and he's glad he didn't baptize any more than he did with water, because he didn't want anyone thinking he'd baptized in his own name. Why would that have been an issue? Because Christ sent him not to baptize. If Paul had baptized after Christ had sent him not to baptize, he would have been baptizing in his own name. So the question would arise, well then why did Paul baptize anybody at all? Was he out of the will of God to baptize any? Well, Paul must have baptized until Christ sent him not to baptize. If there's only one baptism, and that baptism is by one Spirit, then water baptism had no part in the gospel Paul was sent to preach. It certainly had a part in the gospel the 12 were sent to preach. In Mark chapter 16, after rising from the dead, Jesus Christ appears unto the disciples and says in verse 15, And he said unto them, Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Remember, the gospel they were to preach was the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 16, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We did a study not long ago on the Great Commission. And in Matthew 28, Jesus Christ says, Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them. I know for a fact that the 12 disciples were sent to baptize. They were sent to baptize everyone that believed. According to Mark 16, if they did not believe and get baptized, they would not be saved. So for Paul to say Christ sent him not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, he could not have been preaching the gospel of the kingdom, which included water baptism for them that believed. The most beautiful illustration of this is found in Romans chapter 6. That is, our baptism is not water, but it's immersion into death. In Romans chapter 6, we read these words Paul wrote to you and me, the body of Christ. Verse 7 says, Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, if you believe your Bible, you know that we just read in 1 Corinthians 12:13, By one Spirit are we all baptized into Jesus Christ. So when he said in verse 3 here of Romans 6, Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, means that we were baptized by one Spirit into Jesus Christ. In other words, we were immersed into his death. We were identified in his death and resurrection and burial. He goes on to say, verse 4, Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I've heard numerous preachers say time and time again that the water baptism is referred to here, and that you're immersed in a watery grave. You were not. There's not a drop of water in the passage. The baptism here is spiritual. That's the only way you could have been buried with him by baptism into death. We're baptized into death. Jesus Christ was not baptized into death through water. He was baptized in water 3 years before he died on the cross. His baptism had to do with fulfilling the law. He was a priest. He was a sacrifice. He had to be washed. He was baptized into death when he hanged on that cross. water was so far away from the cross that when Jesus Christ hanged there and said, "I thirst," they gave him no water to drink, but they filled a sponge with vinegar and they stuck it on a pole and they gave it to him. I often think that the reason God did that was so nobody could say there was a watery grave at the cross. There's no water involved in the baptism for the church, the body of Christ. We are baptized into his death. Why would somebody want to take that which is spiritual and make it physical? We don't do that with circumcision. Paul talks about us being circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. I don't see preachers trying to say that that circumcision should really be with a knife. They recognize that circumcision as being spiritual, but they will not recognize the baptism as being spiritual. They turn right around and try to put a physical aspect to a spiritual event. But Paul made it clear in verse 5 of Romans 6 when he said, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Now, if you were baptized in water at some point in your life, it was at a different time than another person was baptized in water, or if I had been baptized in water, we were not baptized together in the same pool, in the same water, by the same person. And yet, verse 5 says we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We don't plant things in water, we plant them in soil. We were planted together in his death. That was the burial. It wasn't a watery grave, it was a tomb. Jesus Christ was buried in the earth. And you and I are identified with that death, burial, and resurrection through baptism by one Spirit. I don't know how much more clear the Bible needs to make that for people to let go of their water. You know, water is the great divider in Christianity today. People argue and debate over whether we should sprinkle or dunk. Should they baptize in the name of the Lord? Should they baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Well, none of that would be an issue to divide if we simply trusted the Word of God, meaning exactly what it says when Paul said the one baptism was by one Spirit. I thank God for men that preach the truth about the one baptism in spite of the cost it may take on their ministry. People refuse to support teaching of the truth when it goes against the traditions of men. One man I know that showed me the truth about this has taught for years the truth about the one baptism into Christ. He's done so through showing the Word of God rightly divided. His name is Brother E.C. Moore. He's a father of mine in the gospel. And here's a song about him. I'm not lifting up the man, I'm lifting up the ministry that he received to teach and preach the Word of God rightly divided.
The summer sun beats on the ground, on cotton fields for miles around. July 1955, sinner gains eternal life. Jesus calls that broken man a chosen vessel for his plan. Now with his Savior by his side, he tells the world why Jesus died. Just a man from Coffee County with a Bible in his hand. He shows how rightly to divide. On God's word he takes a stand. Sinners hear him preach the truth and glory in the cross of Calvary. How many saints will sing God's praises thanks to the man from Coffee County. A rescue mission way downtown. Bible classes all around. The Snowball Derby's opening prayer. Spreads the gospel everywhere. The devil hinders all he can. Pain and heartaches plague the man, but by faith he presses on for the sake of God's dear Son. Just a man from Coffee County with a Bible in his hand. He shows how rightly to divide. On God's word he takes a stand. Sinners hear him preach the truth and glory in the cross of Calvary. How many saints will sing God's praises? Thanks to the man from Coffee County. He imparts the truth to faithful men so they can tell others of God's grace. Don't look to me, just preach the cross, he says. I'm not the one you'll have to face. Just a man from Coffee County with a Bible in his hand. He shows how rightly to divide. On God's word he takes a stand. Sinners hear him preach the truth and glory in the cross of Calvary. How many saints will sing God's praises? Thanks to the man from Coffee County. How many saints will sing God's praises? Thanks to the man from Coffee County.
If you think about it, it only makes sense. We are sealed by the Spirit of God, Ephesians chapter 1. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, Ephesians chapter 1. We are seated far above all heavens in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in Ephesians chapter 2. Everything we have in Christ is spiritual, circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. We're going to have a glorified body someday. Why then would we take the one aspect of all these spiritual things and convert it to something physical that pertained only to a priesthood and a kingdom for Israel concerning the millennial reign of Christ? You aren't going to be there. You're not in that inheritance. Our inheritance in Christ was a mystery, hid in God before the foundation of the world. The reason why men compel you to be baptized in water today is found in Galatians chapter 6. Verse 12 says, "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh." Now, I realize the term there was circumcision, but you could substitute the words water baptism, and it would have the same effect. Let me try that. Verse 12. "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be baptized with water. only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are baptized keep the law, but desire to have you baptized that they may glory in your flesh. It's about numbers and a display today. I realize I read those terms into the passage, but it was to make the point that anything done physically is done to demonstrate a fair show. They're trying to show their growth, show their numbers, glory in your flesh by having you immersed or sprinkled or whatever as an indication of your being in Christ. Well, Paul said, we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, water baptism is a requirement for church membership in many churches today. Why would a church require of you something for membership that God does not require of you to be a member of the body of Christ? You were sealed the moment you believed. The man asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Water baptism is not an effect today for the church. Spirit baptism is an effect. We are baptized by that one Spirit into that one body with the one baptism that counts. The baptism by one Spirit into the body of Christ, identified with his death. Baptism with water only confuses the issue. Are you confused? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Quit looking to a day of your immersion and look to the day when you trusted and believed. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me again next Sunday. You've been listening to Believing the Bible every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on 1580 KWED. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at Scott Mitchell, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. If you would like more information, you can call me at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.